Be no test on that one. We'll talk a little bit about giving today, and something we don't talk about always a great deal, but I want to talk about it because Paul deals with the Corinthians. Now, Paul is taking up a special contribution. He's bragged on the Corinthians to the Macedonians because the Corinthians have been generous, and he wants them to be generous again. And it's interesting, he wants them to have their gift ready, so when they come through, that they're going to be ready to take that gift and be ready to take it to Jerusalem. And it's interesting, and this is not so much about personal giving, but it's about how we handle God's gift and God's money. And I think we work at that really well. And it's, again, goes back a little bit to my background in my work. But Paul says to the Corinthians that we want to make sure we handle this gift appropriately, and I'm paraphrasing, in the eyes of God and in the eyes of you and everybody else. And when he's talking about that, not just the way that they spend it, but that we're going to have a couple of people come, want to make sure that everybody knows that we've got, in the world I live in, proper checks and balances are proper segregation of duties is the term, and how to handle that. And I do think that's important. You know, you trust everybody, but it's just important that those duties be segregated. And so, Nathan, that's something that Paul talks about. Is Nathan is our deacon in charge of budgets and finance and those things, and that we do, you know, that you segregate so you make sure everybody and that everything is handled above board and openly, and folks know what's going on. But I want to pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. And that is a quote from Psalms 112 that Wilma read for us. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. How does God want us to give? And we've all heard this, God loves a cheerful giver. But God wants us to give cheerfully. When we give, God wants us to give cheerfully. When we give of our money, when we give of our time, when we give of our talents, God wants us to give cheerfully. Not under compulsion, not because we have to, not because we've been embarrassed into it, but because it's what we want to do and we're glad to have the opportunity to do it. We're glad to have the opportunity to do it. Sometimes it's hard to turn those dollars loose, isn't it? Let's just kind of be honest. This is rhetorical. You don't have to nod your head. But sometimes it's hard to turn loose. I always think it's funny when we're teaching our children to give. We'll give them a dollar or a quarter or whatever, and every now and then you have to pry it out of their hand for them to put it in there. Right? Because I don't know what they're going to do with it. They might lose it, but it's just something about holding on to it, keeping it, that we all want to do. But God loves when we give cheerfully, when we have decided freely that we want to give, and we do it with cheer and with joy that we're able to give. I want to back up just a second. And the way that helps me, and I think all of us, to be cheerful givers is when we remind ourselves, how do we have the opportunity to give? How do we even have the opportunity to give? And it is because God has blessed us. That's important for me to remember, that God has blessed me. I've been blessed. I feel like we live in a blessed time, in a blessed place, in a blessed time. Just if you had to pick a place and time in history, and some of you might say, well, it was 50 years ago, might have been better, but I'm going to tell you, it's from a comfort, prosperity standpoint, peace and freedom, this is a pretty good time to be alive. It's a good place. And to have food in abundance, you know, it's interesting. I do not think we would have free television in this country if it weren't for lawsuits and diets. Now, I'm pretty sure I don't think there'd be in cars. Those three, that's all the advertising that you see, right? People needing a lawyer, people wanting to buy a car, and the latest, greatest diet. And I'm always interested on those diets that means I'm never hungry and I do not have to exercise. Boom! That's the one I'm looking for. But we live in such a time that where our next meal is coming from, and I've shared this with you before, but I'm thankful for it, is not my biggest worry. It is I'm going to eat too much. There's just so much to eat. I'm going to eat too much. And that is a blessing. And to have homes, to have shelter and security is a wonderful blessing. And I want to be reminded that it is God who gives us those blessings. It is God who blesses us. It is God who is the giver of those blessings. And as we pray over meals, I like to think, you know, Lord, thank you for providing this food. Because we could be without it. And we have it in abundance. And so when I remind myself that the blessings that I have are from God, it makes me much easier to be a cheerful giver. When I realize God is the source of my blessings, and that if God has blessed me for the last 50 years, I think He'll continue to bless me. He's taken care of me, so I want to be cheerful and giving back to God. I want to be cheerful about that. And that helps me. Maybe not you. I want us always to remember that God is the source of the blessing, but remember it is a gift God has given, and that I am just a steward of what God has given me. That I'm just caring for what God has allowed me to use. And I want to do that in a responsible way, in a giving way, in a way that does two things. One, that blesses others. I want to give in a way that others are blessed. That some physical burden that they have, whether that be poverty or whatever, is lifted. That the gospel is spread. That someone who has maybe a physical ailment gets some help. But you want to give in a way that somebody benefits. That the kingdom benefits. That someone's burdens are lifted. That somebody's life is made better. Right? And I also want to give in such a way that God is glorified. And that's what Paul talks about to the Corinthians. That we give in a way that God receives glory. Jesus warns us about how we give. That we don't give as the hypocrites give, who would sound trumpets at their giving. And I just can't see us sounding trumpets. But Jesus, sometimes we give, when I say we, I'm talking about people in general, so that others recognize, or we hope others think, that we're really great. We give in a public way, and sometimes that's appropriate. But we just do it so that folks will see. I'll never forget, and this struck me, I was 8 or 10, maybe. And it was back when the rescue squad, it was after they had moved from having their ham breakfast at the old Ag Center to having it on Old Nashville Highway, for those of you who remember. Before Kittrell came along, the best ham breakfast in town was the rescue squad. And we would go, and I'll never forget a gentleman who became elected official standing out front, and he was giving them a check, and then getting his picture made. And I was really young, and I thought, that just seems odd to me, you know, to get the picture made with the check, you know, for a donation. And Jesus would say, that's not how we should give, but we should give secretly. We shouldn't give to get recognized, but we should give quietly. So who gets the honor? God does. And then God, who sees what's done in secret, will reward us how? Openly. That God will bless us for giving, but that shouldn't be our reason for giving. And we shouldn't do it to receive honor now, because if we do, if we give today to receive the recognition of others, then Jesus says, that's all we're going to get, that recognition. But if we give secretly so that others are helped and God is glorified, then our Father will reward us for what we have given. And that's what the psalm is about. That those who are righteous are blessed, and when they give and scatter to the poor, that God blesses them. And we know we can give and still have tough times, right? Because I don't like the message that we give with a spoon and God gives back with a shovel, and so if you'll just give, everything will get better. Now, I do believe that God will bless us, but if our thought about giving is it's a great investment program, that if we give $10, God will give us back $100, I'm a little nervous about that. And I'm really nervous about the motivation, because what's that motivation about? It's not one of the two, is it? The two is, let's help others and let's glorify God. If my desire to give is that God will bless me 10 times as much, then who am I worried about? Me. Me. But when we give unselfishly, I do believe God blesses us. That God makes sure that our needs are met and that we are cared for when we selflessly give back to God, and we do it cheerfully because we want to glorify God and we want to help others. And God has made us to be givers. I truly believe it is more blessed to give than to receive. It truly is a better thing to give than to receive. There's great joy in giving. And this is another point that I want to make. Sometimes you need to let others give to you. That's very difficult for many of us, isn't it? And I'm not talking about just financially, because that may not be the gift we need. It may be, but it may not be. But maybe we need somebody that really wants to help us. Let them help you. And it's hard for us to do. But if none of us let somebody else help, then the other person doesn't get the benefit, the blessing of being a giver, right? You need the blessing of being a giver, but sometimes you need to allow others to have the blessing of giving. Now, some of us are very content. You say, I'll let you be blessed all you want to be. I'll take whatever you're willing to give. But most of us, it's a difficult thing. But we need to let others give, because there is blessing in that. Not only giving formally into the church, which is an important thing, but we ought to be givers in life. We ought to be looking for opportunities to give in all kinds of ways, because God loves cheerful givers. That we don't hoard the things that we have, but that we give them. Because the psalm ends with this, and it's the point on which I want to end. What happens to the wicked? Bring up that last verse, I believe, or next to the last verse, Mike, of the 112th Psalm, if that's easy for you. The wicked will see and be vexed, and they will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. What will the wicked see? The wicked will see the righteous giving and being happy and blessed and prosperous. And they will look at that and not understand. Because selfishness doesn't pay. Selfishness doesn't pay. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are people who are selfish who will amass large amounts of money. But they'll find no peace and contentment and happiness in that. I don't care if it'll buy you a boat. Yeah, I've heard the song. And a truck to pull it. That's as far as I'm going. But money alone doesn't bring any peace, contentment, and happiness. And the wicked will see that the righteous are happy and that they're giving. That they're giving. In the library at Milton City Christian School, where the Waldrons gave, and they have a quote from Mr. Vester, and it's a good one. It says, "What I spent, I used. What I saved, I lost. What I gave, I still have." And that's a pretty good way to live life, isn't it? You know, at our death, you know, what we spend, we have to spend some. I mean, we do. Just expenses of life. But it's used and it's gone and it's okay. But when I'm what I've saved, when I'm gone, I'm not taking it with me. And I'm not going to say, have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? Because, Josh, I've seen it. I got your text. Not that we shouldn't save. That is a part of being prudent. But we're not taking it with us. But what we give away will follow us. That will be a peace and a joy and a blessing that we can carry with us. We'll lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, not on earth. God wants us to give cheerfully. Giving is a part of life. And this is not a lesson, I want you to give more as we pass the plate this morning. That's a decision you need to make. But it's about in our lives, we need to be givers so that others benefit. We ought to be concerned about the needs of others and about glorifying God, and that we do it cheerfully. Because God cheerfully gives to us. God is patient and kind and loving. And we'll never outgive God. We shouldn't try. But we'll never outgive God. Look at the blessings He's given us. Every good thing you ever have had or ever will have is from God. And we talked about grief and about helping each other through those times. And I hope that was helpful. But God gave His only Son freely for us. I guarantee you there's no greater gift than that. No greater gift than what God has given us in the gift of His Son, to whom we have forgiveness of sins. If you're not a Christian today and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and was raised from the dead, that you're willing to confess your sins and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, to repent and walk in the ways of God, to be washed in that blood of Jesus, to be an heir of life eternal, we'd encourage you to come. If you're a Christian today and need the prayers of these shepherds, won't you come while we stand and sing?